What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Combos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today, I'm so excited for this episode with Juliet Whitaker. She just graduated from high school, and as a high schooler, you guys, she ran a 159.80 in the 800 meters. I don't know what this girl is eating for breakfast, but I need to get on board with that. I'm so excited to have you guys join us for this conversation. We're gonna get to know Juliet a little bit better, learn what she's eating for breakfast to make her run so fast. She's going to Stanford next year. Big career ahead of her, so stay tuned for today's episode. Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Open. Let's talk about Open. Open is a digital mindfulness platform combining breathwork, meditation, and movement. Let me tell you guys right now, this week, especially coming back from New York, it is going to be like one of the most stressful weeks I've had in a really long time. And something that has been saving me every single morning is that 5 to 20 minute breathwork class that I do right when I get out of bed. It really clears my head and it just gets me ready for the day. It sets the tone. I don't really know what it is about meditation that makes me feel so good for the rest of the day. I need to do some more research about that. And especially with breathwork, it just adds another layer to meditation that just makes me feel so good to start the day off. Especially after talking to Emily last week, who also uses Open. I used to use it in my bed, but I think it's definitely been better to get out of my bed and do the breathwork classes because it just leaves me feeling so energized and ready to get up and get moving right when I start my day. Open has unlimited live and on-demand breathwork, meditation, yoga, and Pilates classes. It's designed for all levels, which is amazing because I know it can be intimidating to get into a meditation or breathwork routine, but Open makes it so easy and seamless to get started. I usually go for the shorter ones because I'm just now getting into a meditation and breathwork routine that the longer classes make me feel a little overwhelmed. So just doing the 5 minute classes that Open has been so helpful to get me to do it every single day. It's so different from all of the other mindfulness apps that I've used, and you need to try it with me. You get 30 days free when you visit withopen.com/coldbrew. Again, you can join me on Open by going to withopen.com/coldbrew. The link is in the show notes as per usual. 30 days free. Go try it out. See you all in class. Now let's get into today's episode with Juliet. Juliet, welcome to the podcast. I know so many people are excited to have you on because you're such a phenomenal star. And I'm excited to pick your brain because I don't know how you're such a good athlete and I need to know the answers. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. Well, first to get started, you want to just like intro yourself a little bit, tell us who you are and what you're about?
Okay, yeah. So my name is Juliet Whitaker. I just graduated high school in Maryland, and I'm an incoming freshman at Stanford University next year. And I run pretty much the 800 and mile mainly.
Yeah, so I'm very curious because you just ran a phenomenal 800, but then you also just ran a really fast mile, didn't you too? I saw some, I think on like Sidious or something. What was your time?
4:36.
Oh my gosh. How are you guys so good these days? I don't understand. Like that was so unheard of back in my day. Now that I'm like elderly, I genuinely don't get it. Do you run that 400 at all too?
I've run it a few times. I think I've only run it like twice. I've done a few 4x4s, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure your coach just like throws you in there. I could see that happening very easily. Do you run cross country?
Yes.
Okay. Do you like cross country?
No.
But you, I'm sure at Stanford, you'll be running cross country as well.
As of now, yes, but we'll see.
Yeah, see how it goes. Are you good at cross country?
I mean, I went to Foot Locker Nationals. Okay, I didn't do that great there, but.
So, okay, yes, you're definitely good at cross country then. Well, that's going to be a little transition then. You got to run a 6K.
Yeah, oh gosh, I'm not looking forward to that.
Okay, yeah, but Stanford, that's like good though, because the Pac-12, all the races that you run are usually like really flat and like grass.
Yeah, that definitely excites me more. I definitely have had a lot of hilly courses like in Maryland and just like when we go to like race in New York and stuff. So hopefully they'll be flatter. Maybe it won't be as bad.
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. I mean, I grew up in California and I mean, I went to Oregon, completely different school, but you run all the same meets basically.
And our entire team was basically middle distance runners. And we had a couple 10K runners in there, but it definitely, living on the West Coast and racing on the West Coast definitely played into the middle distance cross country vibes. But who knows, maybe the like everything will change and they'll have cross country now be 10K for women as well.
I would not be able to survive that.
All the middle distance runners are crying. And programs that have a bunch of middle distance runners like Stanford.
Yeah. So.
Okay, well, the first question I have is, how are you so fast? Like, what is your secret? Do you have any tea to share?
I don't know. I mean, I think honestly, a lot of my success, I feel like has come from my swimming background, because I actually swam for about 7 years before I started running. And so I didn't start running until I was in high school, but I swam up until then. And honestly, like, even in middle school, when I was like doing just like our school's like middle school cross country program, it like wasn't that big of a deal, but I wasn't able to like miss swim practice. So I would literally go to swim practice and then just like race the cross country meets. And like, honestly, like I would still do like pretty like good, just with like swimming background. So I feel like honestly that has just helped my like endurance and just like aerobic, just like sense of running like so much.
Okay, I'm gonna, I have so many questions. I also grew up a swimmer and I do think it like really correlates with the running fitness, but I feel like it's a special breed of people that can do both, because a lot of swimmers can't run and a lot of runners can't swim. So it is very unique. What like events did you do swimming?
I was a breaststroker. And as far as like freestyle, like I was pretty much like mid distance, I would say, which is kind of funny because I'm also mid distance running. But like I did like the 200, the 500 occasionally, and like the 50 occasionally, but like mainly the 200.
Okay. Oh my gosh. That was like me, same, but I quit when I was like 11. Okay. Were you already doing like the double days and everything where you have to swim in the morning before going to school and stuff? Or was it, and like, did you quit before you got to the point of doing like hours and hours of training in the pool?
Yeah, no, our like team never had like practice before school, but it was pretty like serious. That's like kind of what made me decide to switch over to running, because it was just like going into high school, like I obviously could not do both, just because like it was just so hard to do like two sports at once. And so like going into high school, I was like, I want to try out running, and if I can't do both, then I'd rather just like stop swimming. And I was pretty over swimming, honestly, by that point. It was just like so serious, and like the only thing that was keeping me in it was like my friends. Mm-hmm. And that was like literally it. So I was like, it's time to move. I can see these people another time. Like, I don't need to be at swim practice dying to see them.
Yeah. Were you really good at swimming? Like, did you have a future, would you say? Like, if you continue, could you go to college for it?
I would think so. I honestly don't know, but I think so. I wasn't like amazing, but I wasn't like horrible. I definitely am a better runner, let's just say.
Yeah, that's so interesting. There's just not that many people that I meet that have that background. So it is, I was the exact same way though. Like already at age 11, I was getting burnt out of swimming. And that's a bad sign. I mean, when I'm 11 years old and I'm like, I can't stare at the bottom of the pool anymore. And it was the same. Yeah. I mean, it was like intense. I was going to meets every weekend, like travel meets and stuff. And probably could have continued doing it. But then like even the college opportunities for swimming are so much less than running. So it's like, okay, if you're good at running, you can like the hours that you have to train are so much less and the opportunities are better. So it's like, why would you not choose running? But then my swim coaches were really pissed because they obviously wanted that. Because that was like club swimming. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But Were they like mad that you quit?
Yeah, they kind of were, especially because I didn't really like know if I was going to be good at running. So everyone was kind of just like, why are you just like making this like blind jump into this like sport? And you know that, like how you are in swimming, like why would you leave that? But most people were supportive.
So did you already know that you like were kind of good at running, or was it just kind of like, I'm just gonna run because it's fun?
Yeah, it was kind of a mix of both. My parents both ran in college, and then my two older siblings ran also in high school and then now in college too. So I kind of like knew, you know, through my family and stuff, and like I had done like little like Girls on the Run 5Ks and stuff, and like would do like pretty well, especially like for not training. So I like knew I could maybe be like okay, but I honestly had no idea, and I was just like so naive and like new to the sport. Like it took me so long to like realize how many laps was like a mile, and like I just had no idea like what good times were, literally anything.
Yeah, so then when did you get good? Like were you pretty good right when you started training consistently, or was it a slow build?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like because I started with cross country, so I don't think like nothing was really like stood out that much, but I feel like by the end of freshman year I ran like the 800 at New Balance Nationals, and like I PR'd by a lot and ran 205. So I feel like at that point I kind of like, you know, but I still honestly was like pretty naive, and like I didn't even know like what 205 meant. Like I was just kind of like okay, yeah, like I ran 205. So I feel like after that summer, like going into like sophomore year, I kind of had a better idea.
205 already, like right off the bat. That's insane. What did your coach say? Was he like, oh, that was like good, or where do you even go from there?
Yeah, no, my coach and my parents were all like very like shocked, but also like not surprised, because I think they all had a better idea of like how good I could be, more than like myself. So like I think I was like the most shocked out of everyone, and they kind of just saw it coming, but they were obviously very excited.
Yeah. Were your siblings like really good as well? Or was this kind of like a, whoa, you're the best?
No, yeah, my siblings were really good too. And my sister, honestly, like my sister runs sprints. So we never like race each other or anything. Like she's 2 years older than me. So right now she's running at University of Pennsylvania, but she runs like the 2 and the 4. So we never like kind of overlapped like distances, but no, she was always really good. And same with my brother.
Okay. And then was there any like competition growing up with any of that? I mean, you didn't run the same events, but like there has to be little competition with siblings.
Yeah, I feel like there's always like a little bit of competition, but like honestly, even in swimming, like we never did the same events, because my sister also swam, and she would do like 50 free and then like butterfly. So we were like complete opposites in the swimming world too. But I feel like there was still, you know, obviously little competitions, like even though we're not like racing each other, we can be like, oh, like who PR'd by more, or like who got more time.
Yeah, that's funny. I think that's healthy. That's good. See, my older sister and I, like we did the exact same events, and we spent so much time together like growing up. I mean, it's just kind of funny, but it was like, I think it at a certain point when we were like at some age, we kind of gave up the competition aspect and just kind of accepted how good we both were. But then I think growing up, like just doing the same events, it can cause a lot of tension. So you're glad that you missed out on the direct competition, but it's always fun, you know, to have a little sibling banter about who's better and who's not.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, okay. I want to talk about your sub 2, which is just insane. I literally, the 800 also for me, like I don't like the 800. I don't know how you guys run that fast for 2 minutes straight. I literally get through one lap and I'm like, all right, I'm done. Or like, I just can't anymore. But you broke 2, like how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I'm feeling so happy about it. Still honestly has not like sunk in, even though it was like, I guess like 2 weeks now, but it was just such a surreal feeling. And yeah, I've just been wanting sub 2 for a pretty long time. And this year has been like pretty hard, and I felt like pretty stuck at some of my time. So to just like PR by that much and finally break 2 was just such an incredible feeling.
Yeah. And you won the race against a bunch of pro runners. So that probably felt good as well. A lot of confidence.
Yes, for sure.
You could call that race a big confidence boost. That's what I would definitely probably pin it as. But what were you like thinking about in the race? Like, did you know, you know, you get through a lap, you can kind of tell how it's gonna go. Did you know that it was the sub 2 day?
I feel like honestly going into the race, like I was feeling like pretty confident, which usually like I struggle a bit with like confidence. But I don't know, for some reason going into this race, I had like a few really good workouts going into it that kind of like showed where my fitness was. So I feel like that kind of helped and like added a bit of confidence. And then just like, I don't know, just the vibes of like the meet were just like really amazing. And just like the atmosphere, like, I don't know, it's just a really cool feeling. So I feel like going into it, I was like thinking, you know, maybe it could happen, but also, you know, obviously there's a fine line between thinking I can go sub two and actually doing it. So I feel like to finally do it, you know, added a lot more confidence. But I feel like through the first lap, I definitely was feeling confident about the time, definitely did not think I was going to win. And honestly, like even when I crossed the line, I hadn't really realized that I won. I was pretty much focused on the time. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't watch the race as it was live, but I watched the recap or whatever. You came from like behind and then were just a big surge, but I guess like placing, I mean, how much does placing really matter at races like that? It really is about time at that point. Wait, did anyone else break two or was it just you?
No, there were like, I want to say three of us were under two. I think three.
Oh, yeah. So then I need to like watch the replay again. I should have watched. Yeah, I wish I watched that race live though. I would have been so jazzed. There's something about watching someone like run really fast, like just watching an iconic moment like that, that is just so exciting as a viewer. So I can only imagine what it felt like to actually do it. So, yeah, so what were your thoughts? Sure. You crossed the finish line. I watched your interview with Allie on the run right after the race, and you didn't even know that you had broken two. But like, how long did it take for you to realize? And then what was like your first thoughts?
Yeah, I like wasn't sure because, you know, like as I was coming up to the line, like I was like kind of watching out of the corner of my eye, like the clock, and like I was just trying to get to the line as fast as I could. But like, honestly, like it was so close to like two flat. I was like, not sure if it was going to be like 159 high or like two flat low. And then like they kind of came up, like it took a while to come up on the board. So we were all just like waiting around, like trying to see. And I was like, oh my gosh, like,
yeah, that's so nerve wracking. The nerves don't end. It's like you finish the race, you just want to like the nerves to end, and then you just have more somehow.
Exactly. Yeah. So then when I finally saw it on like the screen, like I just had like such like a sense of like relief because I was like, oh, like I actually did it, you know, and just like so much excitement.
Oh my gosh. Like, I just can't even imagine accomplishing a goal like that because I've never done anything that impressive in my life. So I'm like, I could just feel though, like when you accomplish a goal that's so big, I feel like it just brings so much fulfillment. But how now, like, I mean, you obviously ran a fast mile after that, but how did you reframe? Because that's such a huge accomplishment and you can't, like, it's just sad. Like running is so annoying because yes, you can accomplish these huge goals, but then it's like, there's always more, you know?
Yeah.
So what's next? How are you reframing to set some new goals?
Yeah, it was definitely pretty hard just to kind of reframe just because I'd had this goal obviously for a while. And so like finally getting it, I kind of had to like not just like settle and just like be content with that, but then like, you know, want something more. So I feel like it's been nice though, because there are a lot of like bigger meets that I'm going to, so it kind of helps me kind of just like naturally just kind of reframe and focus on those races. So I'm running at Brooks PR, in Seattle. I'm running the mile there, and then I'm running at U20s in the 800 to try and qualify for Worlds. So that definitely helps me kind of, you know, make more goals for myself, even though I had already achieved, you know, probably my biggest goal, but now moving on, trying to not just like settle and be content, but kind of, you know, reach for something higher.
Yeah, for sure. I saw that you, I don't know, what's the right word? Committed isn't the right word. That you were going to Brooks PR or whatever. And I was like, oh my gosh. Wait, have you been before?
Yeah, I actually went last year.
Okay, so you already know what's in store. That's such a fun meet though. I'm like jealous. I'm living vicariously through all the high schoolers these days. Not that I paid that much attention to high school running, but anytime I see like Brooks PR come up, I'm like, oh man, they're having such a fun time. Though it's probably changed a lot since when I went. Like when I went, it was kind of like all over the place because it had just started the year before. And it was like an indoor meet and half the people were in shape and half the people weren't in shape. I was not in shape, so I got last. But the meet is just so fun in general. So
yeah,
that's a good experience. So are you running the mile there or are you running the 800?
I'm running the mile there. Yeah, and then I'll run the 800 in Eugene.
Okay. Are you ready for like a long season? Say you do. So I'm confused. How do you qualify to Worlds? You have to get the world standard, which is 159.5, right?
Well, so I'm doing U20s Worlds. Not,
oh, right. Oh, I forgot you're young.
Yeah. So they're the same weekend and they're both in Eugene. So it was honestly like, I kind of had to decide, you know, like which I wanted to do. And ultimately I just kind of settled with U20 because I you know, I had like the Olympic trials experience last year, so I feel like I got like the experience of racing with, you know, all these pro athletes, and I kind of wanted to just like step back and kind of like enjoy the smaller meets and just like meets that I still can, you know, that's like, since I'm still pretty young and I can, you know, do U20s and stuff. So I kind of just wanted to do that. But basically it's pretty much the same idea. The U20s is in Eugene, and then top two in each race go on to U20 Worlds, which is in South America this year.
When is that?
It's early August. I think it's like August 1st to August 5th or something like that.
Okay. Well, incentive for you to qualify, then your cross country season will probably be delayed a little bit. So
true.
Well, then no, they'll just redshirt you, and then you can stay another year and do cross country.
No.
Hey, I think you'll be surprised at how well you do in cross country. But why am I even bringing that onto the table right now? We're focused on track season, whatever. But that's good. I mean, I feel like you have a very like refreshing perspective on everything. Maybe it's because you just started running in high school. So it's not that, I mean, it obviously you're at like the highest level that you can possibly be at, but even the fact that you're like running U20s instead of, you know, jumping up to the pro stuff right away, I feel like it's good because I don't know. It's just interesting probably for you navigating as someone that's so good, like making those decisions. Who like helps you make those decisions? Do you have like your high school coach, or is it like your parents, college coaches?
Yeah, definitely my parents. My dad is actually my coach. So yeah. So originally when I first went into high school, I, you know, had my high school coach was my coach and everything. But then like sophomore year, when I qualified for Foot Locker Nationals, like the rest of my team had started indoor track. So my coach was kind of focusing on that and trying to get them started doing that. So my dad came in, like helped, you know, write workouts and stuff and like talk with my coach. And then it just like really worked. So we've just kind of been doing that the rest of the time. So they still like talk over like workouts and everything, but my dad's pretty much the one who writes the workouts and like gives them to me. And he also coaches on my team. He coaches the sprinters, and then he coaches the guys' school, because I go to an all-girls school, or I guess I went to an all-girls school. I'm graduating,
but I'm in high school now.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh, that's another layer to this. So how is it having your dad coach you?
Yeah, it's definitely, I love it. I think I have like a dynamic that I wouldn't really get if I had, you know, some other person coaching. Just because, like, you know, obviously you have such like a greater level of like trust. I feel like when, you know, it's your parents coaching you. And I feel like just also, I'm not like afraid to, you know, like ask questions and like ask, you know, why are we doing this workout today? Or why are we running Tuesday, not Monday, or that kind of things like that, that I probably would be like kind of more nervous to like ask if I just had like another high school coach. So I feel like just having my dad, and obviously like he knows if I'm having a bad day or like if something else was happening like outside of the track, that kind of, you know, could be influencing and like affecting how I'm running.
Does it ever get exhausting though? It's like you go home and he's probably, you know, just talking about your training and running and everything. Like, how do you switch from being his daughter to being his athlete?
Yeah, I feel like we have a pretty good just like sense of like, you know, when we're at the track, he's my coach. And, you know, when we're off the track, he's my dad. Kind of just like switching those hats to, you know, obviously not make my life like all running, because, you know, obviously running is like a big part of my life, but it's not my whole life. So just kind of, you know, having that just like switching of like dynamics and stuff really helps.
Pardon the little intermission here, but we're talking about one of my favorite sponsors of the podcast, Koros. You guys know I've been rocking with my Koros Pace 2 GPS watch. If you follow me on any social media platform, you know I've been loving this watch. I have the white one specifically, and let me tell you, this is one of the most stylish GPS watches I've ever seen. The fit is so nice. It's also really lightweight. I can't even feel it on my wrist when I wear it, so you won't really feel the weight of it when you're running. It literally just fits so perfectly. It's also so easy to use. All you have to do is press two buttons and then you're off and running, and then the app is also really easy to use. After I finish a workout, I just upload it to the app and then it syncs straight to Strava. It's automatic and instant. And I've mentioned it before, but the battery life, you guys, I brought the watch all the way to New York with me. It wasn't even fully charged when I packed it. I didn't even bring my charger because I knew that the battery life would last me that long, at least 3 days for me. I mean, I definitely lasts like a week for me without even having to charge it. And that is incredible because other GPS watches I've used, I've had to charge it every single night. There's nothing worse when you're ready to go out for a run and then you check your watch and it's at low battery. But that rarely happens with the Coros because the battery life is so amazing. And they gave me a good deal for you guys. All you have to do is go to Coros.com and use code COLDBREW for a free accessory with a watch purchase. So just go add an accessory to the cart, like a band, a charger, or apparel before checking out and apply the code COLDBREW and you get that accessory for free with the watch purchase. Like I said, I highly recommend the Coros Pace 2. It's a great watch for runners and it has a lot of options for cross training as well. So the link is in the show notes as per usual, but go to coros.com and use code COLDBREW for that free accessory. Now let's get back into today's episode with Juliet.
So what does your training look like? That's like, you probably, I can only imagine the amount of DMs that you probably get and people asking like, so what is your training plan? But I guess, are you more of like a strength person that where you do like mileage and tempo runs and stuff? Are you more, you know, coming from the sprint side of stuff?
Yeah, I definitely would say that I'm more of like a strength 800 runner. Cause you know, like obviously there are people who run like the 4 and the 8, but I feel like I'm more like on the 8 and like 15/mile side. So I feel like I definitely have more like a higher mileage than most people who would do the 8, but also like a lower mileage than people who do like the 1 and 2 mile. So I feel like I'm kind of just like in between. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like every week I'll have like a tempo workout, just like mile repeats or things like that. And then like a threshold kind of like 1Ks or 800s. And then like a speed day, but honestly, like our speed days are not really just like outright speed. They're usually like speed endurance. So they'll be like 500s or like 300s, never really shorter than that. So yeah.
Oh man, you're going to be so ready for college already. The amount of 1Ks that every team does. Oh, you're going to love it. It's so fun. But I mean, you're probably already set up. You're going to, oh my God. I just remember when I showed up to college, like my high school training, it was good. I mean, I had like a good team and everything, but I don't think I was ready for the 1Ks. I remember going on one of my visits and the coach was like, what's your least favorite workout? And I was like, probably 1Ks. And I will never forget her face. And I was like, that was the wrong answer. And little did I know I'd be doing 1Ks every single week. So at least you're set up for success there.
Yes, true.
Do you think your dad's going to have a hard time giving up the reins to what's the coach's name at Stanford now? It's not Milt anymore.
Clark.
Coach Clark.
Coach Clark.
I don't know anything about Coach Clark, but do you think your dad's going to have a hard time, you know, giving them the reins?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I honestly feel like he's probably not. I feel like he's still coaching at my school, so he'll still be like coaching. So I feel like he won't really like miss that. I feel like he'll still like obviously like want to know like what my workouts were just like out of curiosity and stuff. But I feel like he's pretty excited to kind of hand me over and just excited to see what I can do under Coach Clark.
Yeah. What made you decide on Stanford?
It was definitely a hard process for me. I was like struggling a lot. Just like narrowing down just because I don't know. It was hard to like think about, you know, what a place that I'm going to love like for the next 4 years of my life, you know, like that's such a big amount of time. And just, I don't know. I was feeling very overwhelmed because I was like, how am I supposed to know what 20-year-old me is going to want?
It's so insane. But, like that people have to make that decision when they're so young. Like yeah. I literally had no idea. Like, how does anyone have any idea? You really don't know. And you're like, okay, this could work. And then you shoot your shot and see if it works. So I mean, exactly. Stanford, though, they've got a good reputation, so.
Yeah. I was definitely, I mean, going into it, I definitely wanted a school with, like, a really rigorous, like, academic side as well as athletic side, so Stanford really checked both of those boxes. And then just, like, you know, obviously, like, so many, like, teams that I would, like, Zoom with and talk to would always say, like, the biggest thing, like, or the biggest, like, reason that they chose, like, a school was, like, because of the people and the team, and really, like, when I visited Stanford, like, I just, like, instantly, like, fell in love with the team, and just felt, like, so welcomed, and, like, I just knew it was gonna be a place that I was gonna be happy.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, oh my gosh, I just can't even imagine being in your position, like, going off to school. That seems, you're so young. That's so exciting. Just like, oh my God. And all the recruiting visits and stuff. Wait, can you tell me where else you visited? Or is that like on the DL?
Yeah, no. So I took visits at Stanford, UVA, UNC, Georgetown. Why am I forgetting? Oh, and Texas A&M. And okay. Then I had like an unofficial at UPenn. And I think that's it. Yeah. So it was definitely, it was a very cool experience just like visiting all these schools, but it was definitely very overwhelming, especially because like last year, obviously because of COVID, we weren't able to visit any of the schools. So I pretty much did like all of mine this fall. So it was like a lot, you know, getting into like my senior year of like high school, like visiting all these schools and everything, but it was definitely so cool.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so exciting. Did you have like a hard time deciding between like two schools, or was it more just like overwhelming with all the visits and stuff?
Yeah. It came down to UVA and Stanford, and it was definitely pretty hard to kind of decide between the two. But then I ended up taking another visit back to Stanford, because when I had actually visited Stanford last summer, I went with like a few other recruits, but it was like over the summer, so there like the team wasn't there, and like there weren't really many people on campus. So we went back in the fall, just like me and my mom, to kind of like meet the team and everything, because I just really wanted to meet like the people and everything. So that kind of is what ultimately kind of, you know, changed my decision.
Yeah. Are you ready for the academics?
I'm worried. I'm definitely scared, but I'm also very excited. I'm excited just because, I don't know, I feel like there are just so many like cool classes that like I would never have like imagined like learning like these certain subjects, just because like at school, like especially because my school, it was a pretty small school because we're all girls, so it was only like 500 people, and so like there weren't really that many like class options, just because if there were, there'd only be like two people in every class. So I'm just like so excited for all the options and stuff, and just to, you know, learn more.
Yeah. Do you know what you're gonna major in yet?
I am not sure yet. I'm going in undecided. I don't know. Some people just like know what they want to do right away, and that is just not me, but I definitely would love to like stay in the sport. So I think right now my like top choice would be a sports psychologist, but we'll see. Yeah. I don't know.
That could easily change. I feel like no one really knows until they end up going and you get like through your first year of classes, and then not everyone changes their mind, but a lot of people do change their mind. But I mean, Stanford is hard, like from people that I know that have gone there, but I mean, the entire team is in the same boat. And then I'm sure the coach has like resources and is understanding of people's like schedules and everything. So I mean, and obviously people have made it through very successfully, so I'm sure you'll be fine. And the fact that you are already like motivated to take on the rigorous academics, you're gonna be fine. So what are you excited for college the most, do you think?
I think just kind of like a new like start, like a new beginning, especially just like I'm definitely scared to move across the country, just like, you know, going so far from home, but also just like so excited. Just because like I don't know when else I would have like ever like had the opportunity to like go and like live in California, so you know, college was like just a perfect option to kind of you know, go and kind of just explore, and yeah, just kind of have like a new start. And I think also just like the team atmosphere is really exciting me, just because like in high school we had like a team, but I like pretty much went to like a lot of my meets that were out of state like alone. So it was definitely pretty hard. So I'm excited, you know, just to kind of have like such a great team to like travel and go to meets with and train with and everything. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. You're gonna love it. I mean, the team atmosphere of college is unlike anything else that you'll ever experience in your entire life. You spend so much time with these people, and you just see people's highs, like the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, that it like creates an unbreakable bond between them. Between like everyone on the team. I'm so excited for you. You're gonna have such a good time. Do you have any, I mean, like moving across the country, yeah, is daunting, but you're gonna be so like busy,
yeah,
with everything. I'm sure, like, you know, everyone gets a little homesick every once in a while, but I'm sure you'll be fine. And then do you have any other like worries, I guess, about college?
Not really. I feel like just, yeah, moving across the country is probably the biggest one.
What is like your Coach Clark, what has he said about your success and everything? Is he like really excited for you to join the team? Have you talked anything about like redshirting or doing anything yet?
No, we haven't really talked about any of that yet. He's definitely has been like so supportive and just like excited. And like, will always like be one of the first people to text me like after my races and stuff. Yeah, I think he's just really excited to see like my potential and what I can do. And yeah, so am I.
Yeah. Do you have like nerves about, I don't know, other people's expectations or, I don't know, your own expectations of yourself going into like a completely new program and training and location and everything?
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely going to be like a big adjustment, especially like when how I'm training right now. Like it's pretty just like pretty much just like me and my dad, like one-on-one kind of thing. So I've never like quote unquote like had to really share any like attention or anything. Like it's always been like kind of all eyes on me, like everything focused on me. So I feel like going to college, it'll definitely be like a big switch, just like being with such a big team. And like, you know, obviously Coach Clark, like I'm not his only athlete, so he'll kind of, you know, obviously have to focus on other people. So I feel like that will kind of be like a big switch. But I feel like also just training with so many other people will just be such an amazing like kind of opportunity. Especially like Roisin, like obviously like she's running amazing in the 800 too. So just like both of us, you know, like specifically 800 training is just going to be such a cool experience to have.
Yeah. I mean, you seem like you have a good head on your shoulders for someone that's so good. So I'm sure you'll be able to tackle freshman year with, I don't know about ease, but you know, you'll do well. I can sense it. I can feel it. So I'm excited to watch how college goes and everything. That's fun.
Brief little intermission here to talk about one of my all-time favorite sponsors of the podcast, Gooder. Gooder makes $25 active sunglasses for anyone. They are lightweight, comfortable, they don't move when you run, and they're all for only $25. No slip, no bounce, all polarized, and all fun. They also recently came out with some of my favorite sunglasses of all time for only $45. They are the Wrap G's. You may have seen them if you follow me on Instagram or anything. They're the big sunglasses. I did a reel of them and on TikTok as well. They are seriously my favorite sunglasses ever. They have names like $9 pour over and influencers pay double. And the Wrap G's, one of them is called Save a Bull, Ride a Rodeo Clown. I still don't know what a rodeo clown is, but you know, the sunglasses are amazing, so I don't even care to figure it out. And I know you will find a pair that speaks to you. Like I said, I wear my Gooder sunglasses every single time I go out for a workout. Today I'm going cycling and I am definitely going to be wearing my Wrap G's, specifically the I Do My Own Stunts model. So highly recommend you go check it out. They're also a perfect gift. So if you need a gift idea for someone that likes to run, cycle, or just wants a pair of fashionable, affordable sunglasses, get them a pair and get yourself a pair of Gooders as well, because you deserve it. Go to Gooder.com, that's G-O-O-D-R.com, and get 15% off your entire order when you use code COLDBREW at checkout. All orders over $50 get free shipping in the US. That's 15% off with code COLDBREW at www.goodr.com. Look good, run Gooder. Now let's get back into today's episode.
Okay, well, do you have any other like hobbies that you like to do? That's like my favorite question to ask, especially because like now you're going to Stanford and you're running. Like, do you have any other hobbies that you're gonna have to fit into your schedule?
Not really, honestly. I wish I had more time to do other stuff. It's just so hard to fit like other things in, but I do like to read. I just like being outside, honestly, just like going on a hike or even just like sitting, you know, in the backyard or something. And I like to cook and bake. I'm not really the best, but I'd love to like learn more. And just like be able to cook and bake more things.
Yeah. I'm not really good at cooking or baking either, but you know, it's fun to do every once in a while. To test yourself and, you know, try out different things. College though is like the best time to do it though, because then you're like, you know, your parents aren't really cooking for you anymore. Well, actually, yeah. You probably live in the dorms because Stanford's different than Oregon was. Like, I had my own kitchen and everything from freshman year. So I got thrown into the like abyss of just learning how to cook.
Yeah.
But you've got a couple of years, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a fun time. Well, do you have any like goals, I guess, for NCAA running or just any like running career goals in general?
I mean, I definitely would love to make nationals, specifically track nationals, like either in the 800 or the 15. And hopefully by the time I'm done at Stanford, I hope to have at least one, you know, national champion, whether it's team or individual. I would love a team, you know, championship like so much, like that just be so cool. But I guess like farther down the road, I would love to go pro at some point. And yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens then.
Yeah. Do you have any like pro opportunities right now? Because I mean, you already have beaten a lot of pros and running under two, like that's what pros do, you know, really good ones. So have people approached you about going pro, or is it just kind of like everyone knows you're going to Stanford?
Yeah, no one has really approached me. A lot of people have asked like if I would ever think about it, but my answer has always kind of been no. So yeah, I think most people just kind of know that I'm planning on going to college.
Yeah, I think you'll really enjoy the college experience, and because you're pretty new to running, that I feel like that makes sense to just compound more years, and then who knows, maybe you'll get amazing in college and then you'll have more pro opportunities before you even have to graduate. Or well, you'll probably graduate, but you never know what happens long term. But that's cool. Right. I mean, you're setting yourself up for success, so I'm sure a lot of people are excited to watch how it goes long term and stuff, because I don't know, I'm interested in hearing your take, because high schoolers these days are so good. What do you think makes everyone so good? Like, what, I guess you don't have any like reference, like you were running when I was like back running in high school, but yeah. Like, what, how is everyone so good, you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely insane, especially just like, I feel like these past like 2 years, I feel like ever since like COVID, like the times have just been like insane. Like the amount of times that like people have broken like national records or even just like rewrote like the top 10 list has been like absolutely like insane. And I don't know, I feel like it's just kind of like the momentum of everyone like excelling just like inspires and motivates everyone else to excel too. Like even just like in the 800 myself, like running against people like Roisin Willis and like Sophia Gorriaran, like when they like excel and like when they ran too flat like this past winter, like that definitely just like inspired and motivated me so much. So I feel like just kind of that, like even when you're not in the same race, just like seeing all the other high school athletes, you know, really just doing so well, it just has kind of motivated everyone else to do well too.
Yeah, I feel like the bar is just set so high now.
Yeah,
I'm like, where's it gonna go from here? High schoolers are gonna start running 155. Like, I feel like that's where it's trending.
Yeah,
all I know is I'm glad I'm not in high school right now, because I would be out the back of every race. So do you have any like rivals in the high school scene?
Not really, I don't think so.
Yeah, you're just going, I mean, you're probably everyone else's rival.
No,
you're setting the bar now, so I don't even know why I asked that question. Do you have any like role models of people that you look to? I mean, you have those two ladies, but anyone, I guess, that's like, I don't know, in the pro scene or anything?
Yeah, definitely, you know, like Ajay Wilson, a thing, but also Heather McLean, I like really have loved like learning, especially since last year, like her making the Olympics. I just like have learned a lot about like her story, and it's just so inspiring. I don't know, I'm kind of just inspired by like all pro athletes. Oh, and Allison Felix, definitely, just like everything that she's done and, you know, kind of gone through and overcome.
Yeah, there's so many good stories and so many like inspiring people in this world. It's so easy to find inspiration from someone else.
Yeah.
I think that's why people, there's just not that many like actual rivalries of people like talking bad about each other or just like beef or anything, because everyone just respects everyone else and everyone knows each other's story because the running world is so small. That maybe that's why, but
yeah, no, that's definitely what, like, one of the things I love most about running, just like the community and just, yeah, like even like obviously I'm racing like those two girls that I mentioned earlier, like I'm racing them all the time, and like it, like in other sports it would probably be like called a rival, but I think we all just like have such like a shared like understanding of like, you know, how much work it really like takes to get to these like times and stuff, and so we just kind of like share in that like respect for each other, and just like respect of ourselves and like what we've gone through to get here.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Okay, well, we have a lot of listener questions, because I'm sure I have like a younger demographic, so there's probably a lot of people in high school that are like, please help me get faster. But I'm not going to really ask you questions about that, because that's not, you can't even answer that question in the podcast. Okay. What is the hardest workout that you've ever done?
That's such a hard question.
Or like your least favorite workout.
Yeah, I mean, my least favorite workouts are honestly probably 1K repeats.
Oh, good.
They are just like, yeah, I don't know. The fact that they're just like the times that like my dad has me do them at, like they're always like thresholds. So like they're hard, but then like not a lot of rest and like a lot of them. It's just a lot. But I feel like honestly this past year, like the hardest workout that I did, I did like 2 600s at 126 with like 10 minutes rest. That's like what I did going into my sub 2 minute.
That literally makes me want to throw up. That really does. What? Wait, but, like, what? Honestly, how is that even possible?
I don't know. I honestly like those type of workouts more because like 600, like it's not that long and I'm only doing two. Like I love when it's like only two, or like when it starts getting like six or like eight reps. Like that's when my mentality, like I just struggle a lot because I'm like, what? Like I'm only halfway. So like only doing two, like I don't know, it goes by so fast.
Okay, I agree with that. I definitely see your perspective on that. You know, you only got two reps and you got to think a lot more when you're actually doing the long workouts. Like your brain just has to, you have to motivate yourself more.
Yes.
Over and over and over again.
Exactly.
But I'm curious, how do you mentally prepare to run 2 600s at 127? Like how, like, because I would literally be dying all morning long. I wouldn't be able to get anything done. I would just be like just a ball of nerves. And I don't really get that nervous, but to do that, I would literally not be able to like stomach food. I would have issues.
Well, I actually didn't know that was a workout until literally we started the workout.
Oh my God, that's even worse. That's even worse. And you can't even mentally prepare.
I honestly is better because probably if I had known, I would have like worked myself up so much the whole day, like going into it, and like would have been so nervous. But honestly, like I had like done the warm up and did my drills and everything. And then I was like, okay, what's the workout? And then he was like 2 600s and we started.
Oh my gosh, you didn't even have it before the warm up.
No, no.
Okay, you are built different because I would definitely, I mean, I agree with that though too. Like I wouldn't want to know that because I wouldn't be able to sleep. If I like knew that the night before, I literally wouldn't sleep. So exactly. Yeah, it's better to just rip the band-aid off, you know, right when you're about to start. But also, so whew, you were spiked up though, I'm sure, right? Like you had,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, you're not doing that in trainers or flats.
No.
Oh man, you are built different. I like literally, I can't, ew, that's so fast, I can't. okay. I need to move on, I'm getting overwhelmed. Have you had like any setbacks yet? Like, have you been injured at all or anything?
Yeah, I think this, up until this year, I feel like I had like pretty smooth kind of like seasons, not a lot of injuries. But this year I did have a stress fracture in my foot. And so I was out for like, I can't remember now. I think it was either four to 6 weeks. So a pretty long time. And it was like right at the start of indoor track. So I was pretty bummed because there were a lot of races that I was like signed up for and had to end up like, you know, pulling out. But that was like when I was very thankful for my swimming background because I was able to just like swim a ton. So I honestly feel like it was honestly just like a great time to just kind of like, I could obviously still keep up my fitness and stuff, but I also kind of was able to kind of take a step back away from running and kind of just like relax and refresh because I'd pretty much been going pretty hard just like from cross country up until like cross country nationals. And so I kind of just needed like a time to just relax and take a step away. So I feel like it kind of came at a good time. But definitely it was hard to see that during it. But yeah. And then I actually did get COVID this winter, right after like indoor nationals. So that was a pretty hard setback too, just kind of having to stay out and then like ease back into it pretty slowly just to be careful and stuff. But yeah, knock on wood, hopefully my seasons go smooth.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a stress fracture is never a blessing, but I think you will be happy that you took the break when you did, especially if your season goes all the way to August, because you'll probably be feeling a lot better rather than like just jumping right into indoors and then racing. So
exactly.
Yeah. Always looking at the positives.
Yeah.
But it is good to have the swimming background. And in college, you know, if you do get injured, it's always nice to, you know, have that to fall back on. Cause I know a lot of people have issues with cross training cause they don't know how to cross train, but swimming, you know, you can always fall back on it. Even though it's not the most exciting thing, at least, you know, you can go rip some 120s in the lane and do 2100s for a workout. Okay. Some more listener questions. What is your favorite Shrek movie?
I don't even know. I guess the first one. I don't really remember all the different ones.
Okay, Nikki, don't ask that question. I thought maybe you guys had some sort of, you know, inside joke considering that you raced together the other week, but we can disregard that because
I don't think we've ever talked about Shrek before.
Okay, disregarding the question. Sorry, Nikki. Do you have any pre-race rituals?
Oh my gosh. I mean, other than like the same meals, like I usually have pretty much the same thing. Like always the night before, I'll have like pasta and then some sort of protein. And then the morning of, I'll usually have like peanut butter and banana toast. And like lunch, I'll have like a turkey sandwich. So pretty much like the meal is always the same, nothing really exciting, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. That's literally the most standard like runner pre-race diet ever. But you know, I'm the same way, but swap the toast for oatmeal, of course. What is your favorite running shoe?
Right now I'm training in the Nike Pegasus, I think it's called. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not really like that picky. I kind of just, most shoes work for me. So yeah, it's kind of just whatever I'm running in at the time.
Yeah, whatever's put in front of you, you put it on your foot and go for a run.
Exactly.
What do you have any favorite like spikes?
I'm running in the, oh, I'm so bad at these names. They're the green Nike ones. A lot of people have them. I don't know if they're the, I forget, dragonflies maybe?
That sounds right. I don't know. I'm not a shoe nerd either. Like I know the Pegasus and I know the Invincibles because that's what I wear running. But spikes, don't ask me the name of them. Yeah. Like you said, the green ones, sure.
Yeah, yeah, the green ones. I don't know.
I would assume it's the dragonflies just because everyone loves dragonflies. I need to try them. Not that I ever need to lace up my spikes within the next 3 years, at least, but I want to just see what they feel like on my foot. I have yet to try them, so I'm going to have to somehow finesse a pair, but yeah. We'll see. What is your favorite food?
Oh, that is so hard. I don't know. Probably pasta. Just because, I don't know, I feel like you go in, like, so many different directions and, like, I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't get sick of it because you could really like change it up like every day to something else.
Yeah. Do you have like a go-to pasta order?
I usually like penne vodka with like grilled chicken. But at home when I'm making pasta, I like just like pasta with like pesto chicken. I think it's like so good. It's really simple, but it's so good. Yeah.
I'm like, I need to eat lunch and I want pesto pasta right now. I just had some when I was in New York and it was so good. I don't really love pasta. Like it's not my go-to food, but I think New York just reinvigorated my love for it because now I'm literally craving pesto pasta and add some chicken onto it because I need more protein in my day.
Yeah.
That sounds fire. Here's one. Okay. This is like my one last real question. Do you have anything that you could like work on as an athlete? Is there anything that you is a weakness you would say?
Yeah, I mean, I think just like building up like my mentality, I feel like is something that I always kind of need to improve on. I don't know. I just find it like so easy, like in a race or even just like a workout, like when it starts to hurt, sometimes I just kind of like my brain just like shuts off and I just kind of give up, like kind of. But I feel like that sounds so bad.
Oh, I mean, everyone knows what you're talking about. Like, kind of that just sounds so pathetic when you say it out loud. You're like, I just, my brain shuts off and I like just kind of give up.
yeah, but I definitely like improved a lot since like freshman year me, but obviously like still have a far way to go. And I think also just kind of when I tend to get very like worked up and like nervous just like with people that I'm racing. Like sometimes I'll just like get so caught in like who the field is and like you know, like what they've done in the past that I kind of forget to just kind of focus on me, and just like what I can do. So I again also have improved a lot in that, but still have a long way to go.
Yeah. Well, you're so young, like to the sport, I'm sure, you know, you'll keep seeing improvements. Also, you're so humble, like for how good you are. I mean, I feel like most runners are humble, but you're like especially humble. So that's a good thing.
Thank you.
I got a lot of people saying that too. She's like, how is she so humble? I'm like, how do you even ask a question like that? Literally, like, what? How do I even phrase that? And how does someone answer that without being like, how does a humble person answer that question? That's you can't. All right. Well, I usually ask like advice to younger self, but you are already so young that I'm gonna reframe it this time. Do you have any advice to like your future self of something that you always want to remember as like running gets more intense?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like just kind of, I always want to remember like my love for the sport, like regardless of, you know, times that I reach or like achievements that I get and like awards and stuff. I, you know, I just always want to remember like why I got started in the sport, like before I ever knew, you know, what I could be, and just kind of like keep that love for the sport and like enjoyment. Cause you know, the minute that it stops becoming like something that I love to do, you know, like I'm never really going to improve. So yeah.
I love that. Just make sure to clip this episode and just, you know, keep it with you 5 years from now. Yeah. And you'll be like, oh, it's so wholesome. Well, thank you for joining me today. It's been very insightful. And because I really didn't know that much about you. And I always, this is why I love my podcast, because I'm like, what other times can I sit down with someone that I've never met in my life and just, you know, pester them for an hour? So I appreciate you coming on and joining us.
Yeah, thank you. I definitely, when I saw your message on Instagram, I was definitely like fangirling. I was like, oh my gosh, no way. I listen to this podcast all the time. I literally listen to it on like every easy run I have. So,
oh my gosh, now I'm fangirling. I'm literally fangirling. Okay, well, where can people follow you? What do you want to plug?
Yeah, I'll plug my Instagram. I think it's jwhitaker22. Yeah,
okay, I think sweet. The link is in the show notes as per usual. So everyone go check her out. Well, thanks for joining us. The last thing I have everyone say is peace out, fellas. So to close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Of course. Peace out, fellas.
Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode of Convos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. It was really fun getting to know Juliet a little bit better. She is an incredible athlete, so I'm excited to watch her career and how it goes on, and I'm sure you guys are as well. Don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Like I say in every episode, it seriously means the world to me to read your guys' reviews, and it's a free way to support the podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Convos Over Cold Brew Pod to be up to date and to submit listener questions. Thank you all so much for listening, and I will catch you all next week. Peace out, fellas.